All of these images inflecting the mystery of love one finds as one seeks, as I sought, the imagery for this talk tonight. They inflect in various ways the great mystery. In the Orient, the highest symbol of this, I believe, is in the imagery of Buddhism. You know the theme of the Buddha? He came to the tree of the world center and sat there, having reached the point of immobility, as it's called, the immovable point, no longer threatened by fear, no longer threatened by desire. That is to say, he had come to the point through which that original being who said, I, had come. The Buddha sat there, and the original being of whom I spoke earlier came before him in three forms. The first form was the form of love, the god of love, the god of lust, love in its earthly aspect. And he paraded before the seated saint his three beautiful daughters. And if the Buddha had thought I, he would have thought they, but there was no I there, so there was no experience of they. He had transcended that temptation, he was unmoved. Then the Lord of Lust, whose name is Kama, meaning love or desire, turned himself into the Lord of Death, of fear, of aggression. These are the two great motives of life. And he hurled against the seated one his army of monsters. But there was no sense of I there. There was absolutely no fear. And when the weapons of various sort came into this sphere of non-ego, they were transformed into lotuses. And then this tempter turned himself into the Lord of Duty, like a sociologist. He comes and says, what are you doing sitting here, you prince? You should be in your palace governing the world. Don't you know there's a world, there are troubles, there are things to do? Well, what do you do when people talk to you that way, when what you're seeking is wisdom and the source of even social virtues? The Buddha did the only thing that was necessary. He simply touched the earth. Nature, Mother Nature, from which even society comes. And the goddess Earth herself said, this is my beloved son, who through many lifetimes has already given of himself. So let him alone. And the elephant on which this god of duty was riding bowed before the saintly one, and in the course of that night, illumination came. Now, what is the nature of this illumination? It is the realization of the truth that I've already spoken of, namely that we are all manifestations of one being who is no being, is a transcendent mystery. And along with that, and the realization that it is somehow a mystical zeal that has brought the universe into being, sends the planet spinning and holds everything going. The realization that this is the truth and that we are all manifestations of the joy, of the bliss, of the zeal of life. Then looking around and seeing how everyone is suffering, thinks he is suffering, because he is tied to his own little ego, whereas in depth he is in bliss, but doesn't know it. At that moment, realizing that there is no cure for this except the realization that this sorrow and this suffering is just a surface flicker on a permanent bliss, this realization fills the heart with compassion for all these beings who feel that they are suffering, whereas one level deeper, they are in bliss. There's a very paradoxical mystery here. Also involved in this is the realization that two beings fighting each other are the same being. and that life inevitably manifests itself in this duad, so that a battle is in a certain sense a love affair. And this is the sense of the mysticism of war in the old traditions. There is a respect for that other, but it is actually through duality that the universe exists. So what are you asking for when you ask for the world to stop its suffering? That is the end of life itself. And if that's the way you feel about it, well then pull out. But don't annoy us by telling us that things should be the way you think they should be. There's a wonderful medieval poet, Gottfried of Strasbourg, and he says, "They tell me there are people who wish to live in bliss alone. God give them their bliss. Those are not the people for whom I am writing. I write for those noble hearts who live in sorrow and bliss at the same time, the bliss of their sorrow and the sorrow of their bliss. And this double buzz, this double agony, so to say, in joy, is the essence of that love mystery which is symbolized in the devil in hell and in Christ on the cross and in any moment of love." Now, the Buddha idea of compassion is comparable to the Christian idea of agape, or charity, when Christ says, "Love thy neighbor as thyself," or when he says, beyond that, and this I take to be the high word of the Christian doctrine, "Love your enemies." That doesn't mean that they are not your enemies. They are. And that double experience is another aspect of this that I am speaking about.